Clearly, I am a brilliant saxophone.
Hello and welcome to the Canned Laughter Showroom. Concealing some suspicious mould with a cabinet is Simon.
I'll have you know this is Victorian damp and it's a feature of the house.
And fretting about the asbestos in the attic is me, Mark. She sounded sexy. Can we get her back?
She's just going to say the same things over and over again. She's very, very, very pre-recorded. One-dimensional, some might say, but I understand her disabilities.
Being a pre-recorded voice yourself.
Yes, I am a pre-recorded voice. Thank you for using me. Goodbye.
After 25 years, Simon has finally deactivated.
I have finally hit my planned obsolescence.
Yeah. To replace your Simon, please press 1. If you are unsatisfied, if you are dissatisfied by the Simon you've been using, press 2. To hear these
please note that please note that we no longer accept refunds for unacceptable orientation.
If your Simon has become increasingly sticky, press 3.
Thank you for calling Dialer Tissues.
What would they do? Just like go, just mail order like handkerchiefs.
Yeah, it's like Dialer Drink, but instead of drinks, they send you tissues.
I've never heard of Dialer Drink. Is that literally just like a mobile bar that comes to your door when you press 6?
Yeah, pretty much. I've never used them, but a couple of friends of mine did when they were completely smashed, and they just kept calling up like, "Hello, drink a drink."
Were they actually called Drink a Drink?
No, but
oh, that would be an amazing name for
no,
them.
No, but my friends were so drunk that they didn't get the name right.
Hello, drink.
I think they ordered a bottle of vodka, and then when it turned up, they didn't pay for it.
Of course they didn't.
I kind of wish I was there now. I don't remember when this was, but I couldn't make it for reason X.
Have I told you on a similar theme of being drunk and getting names wrong, the time that I humiliated myself in front of the Lancashire Hot Pots?
They're a band, right?
Yeah, they're a band. They're a comedy folk band.
Tell me about this time.
Well, funnily enough, I'm going to go see them next week. So hopefully I won't repeat the same thing. But as a lot of their songs encourage drinking responsibly, then I was getting rather tipsy throughout the show. and then at the end of the show, they were selling their own merch. So I went over to get myself and my friend Mike a t-shirt each. And yeah. As I was standing in the queue, there was like 2 people in front of me, and I was like, okay, Mark, you can do this. Ask for a small t-shirt and a medium t-shirt. A small t-shirt and a medium t-shirt. And I get up to the guy, and I Carvish medium, please. And I was immediately like, oh, Mark, you had what? One job.
You had one job. Yeah.
That's it. I'm out of here. And then my brain just leaves. And the guy just looks at me. He's like, "Schmedium?" He's like, "A small and a medium, please."
I was trying to shave time. As you can see, I'm rather drunk. So I
Did
thought,
you not
well,
get
efficiency.
The memo of how we are now saying our words. So yeah, that was the time I mispronounced. Yeah. Very simple request for merchandise. But yeah, hopefully, well, I'm probably driving to go see them this next time, as they're not playing in my local town or city. So I probably will have one drink and not be humiliating myself by drunkenly mispronouncing or combining words.
Combining words is a really handy thing to do, though.
Well, like when you say, like, y'all instead of you all.
Yeah, or the northeastern equivalent is use, which is considered to be quite sort of slangy and kind of lower class, but I think it's just really handy.
Or like the Yorkshire tut.
No, that's just lazy.
What? It's just like tut. That's not lazy. It's fine.
I don't know. If I'm a bit too northern to be from Yorkshire. The sound you hear is all our Londoner listeners' heads exploding. What do you mean you can't? You're fucking northern, that means you're Yorkshire, right? I don't know.
I don't know if we mentioned
it. If we have any listeners from London who aren't senile 50-somethings, we'd like to hear from you.
I don't know if Steph told you this or if I text you it, but when we were in London the other week for the Eurogamer Expo, we didn't hear a single person say, "Fucking chips." We heard one guy say, "Fucking."
Yeah, that'll happen.
But no "fucking chips."
Yeah, I know, because that's pretty much a Dylan Moran quote.
Which is something I'm not expecting.
Yeah, I'm not expecting to hear that phrase exactly. Oh God!
Although speaking of Londoners, I will soon become a Londoner.
Hey, do you want to talk about this on the podcast?
I'll do it now. Well, mostly because I have a story relating to London to tell this week.
We've pretty much started.
But right. For a change, like the last few weeks, like having to keep stuff under wraps, but I think I'm about okay to talk about it because by the time this goes up, I will have finished at my job and will be in that limbo between jobs. but no, yes, I am starting a job for Sony Computer Entertainment Europe in a couple of weeks, and I'm so moving to London for it. First time in my entire life, I won't be living in Yorkshire, so that's kind of sad. Both kinds of sad, really. That, you know, sad as in, oh, and sad as in, yeah, that's pretty sad, mate. But no, yeah. Becky and I went down to look at a few flats on the weekend. A couple of which had been let because annoyingly I'd, you know, booked in my viewings at the start of the week and then could only go down at the weekend, you know, when I didn't have work. But no, yeah, the ones we saw, a few were interesting, and then I've ended up taking one and just need to pay the deposit now, which is extortionate because it's London.
Yeah. Do you want to define interesting?
The first place we saw, we only saw three places in the end, but the first place we saw was unfurnished, and we got up to the front of the house. It was basically a semi-detached house that you go through the front door, and then you're presented with two further doors to two flats, basically. The downstairs one and the upstairs one.
Ah, so it's a maze.
Yeah, it's like a maze. But
Was Traegard there?
No, unfortunately not. And neither was Richard O'Brien.
That's disappointing.
I know.
Richard O'Brien just standing there, just leaning against the bathroom, being like, "Sorry, it's an automatic lock-in."
Richard O'Brien would be the best pub landlord, wouldn't he?
He'd be fantastic.
I'm sorry, that's a lock-in. I'm afraid you're going to have to... And you know, instead of crystals, they could use those little crystal-shaped stoppers for those, like, brandy bottles, those glass brandy bottles.
Yeah.
And you could collect those by finishing
Oh my God, that's it, that's it, that's it. You know how, like, everyone from our age misses the crystal maze?
Yes.
We recreate it as a pub game.
You mean aside from the gambling machines in pubs that have a crystal maze gambly game on them?
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's shit. You're still ultimately just playing a gambling game on a machine that's going to rob you of your money. Don't do that. We can do one that's actually fun to play and doesn't leave you bankrupt.
Yeah.
Obviously, we'd have to develop the rules, but this could be our big break. So I'm telling it to the entire internet so they can do the idea instead and steal all the credit.
Different zone, like have a pub that's actually four pubs inside. So you've got like... The traditional pub zone, you've got the Toby Carvery zone, you've got the nightclub zone.
we'd have to do it in a way that isn't tied to any four particular pubs so that anyone can play it in their region of the country.
Oh, well, I mean, I thought we were like building a special Crystal Maze pub to start with and then, but no, I mean...
To start with? Build a special Crystal Maze pub to start with?
Yeah, you gotta dream
Mark.
Big.
No, yeah, dream big, but check your wallet.
It's all right. I'll just get a load of those gold notes in the dome at the end. that'll pay for it, right?
No, you got to cash them in for the ski trip.
Actually, no. That's what they do is that's just the tip jar, and they just like throw the contents into the air, and you've got to get all the notes. And there's just like the landlady with a hairdryer underneath you trying to keep them up.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah, the gold ones wouldn't pay for it because they go on the ski trip. The silver ones, however, because they're not redeemable in the Crystal Maze, but they are potentially redeemable outside the Crystal Maze.
you can have like games like find the pork scratching down the back of the the, you know, shitty sofa. Oh, you can have like beer mat stacking as well. Oh, you have to get through like to the center, like the center of the table holds a crystal, and you have to like pick up the crystal without knocking over the precariously placed beer mats.
Yeah, I'm just wondering now what we'd use instead of crystals. I mean, the problem with the brandy stoppers is they're difficult to get hold of. Mm. They're not consistent.
Yeah.
And you'd feel a bit weird carrying multiple quantities around.
Could
I think that they'd have to be pound coins, I think.
You could do like my brother and I used to do when we played Crystal Maze. this is really sad. We used to like set up Crystal Maze like obstacle-y type rooms in our house, and we'd use marbles.
Oh, awesome.
And then you've got like a little marble bag to carry all your crystals in.
Sweet. That's not sad. That's enterprising. 50p coins.
50. Yes.
They're a better shape.
More satisfying shape.
Yeah. Or maybe 20p coins. I'm just thinking about what coin you're likely to have a lot of, but aren't going to spend on beer.
That's true.
Probably 50p coins, because then you've got pounds and 20s to spend.
Mm.
Which covers the balance, right? Okay. So 20p coins are the crystals. I haven't watched a Crystal Maze in a long while. What else do we need to do? I'm going to presume... Oh, we can... what are we going to do about... Are we going to have any water hazards?
Yeah, you know the hose that they use for lemonade and Coke? Is someone with that spraying you?
Oh, God, it's terrible. I presume the drying room, you just go on the toilets and stand under the hand dryer for about 20 minutes. Not done yet.
Oh, no. Much better idea. Instead of having, like... and this would work in any pub. The zones would be you've got your lager zone, you've got your spirits zone, yes. You've got the cider zone, and you've got alcohol number 4 zone.
Oh God, is that shit even legal still?
You've got the mixer zone, or the shitty Alka-Pop zone. Got the WKD zone, the Bailey zone, the Copperberg zone, and the Guinness zone.
I like the idea of splitting the zones up by drink types. Yeah, that's good.
I think we're onto a winner here. Oh, and no, because obviously, you know, like within the Aztec zone, there were like 6 different Aztec rooms. Within like the cider zone, there are different ones. So you've got your Aspals and you've got your Strongbow, and it's really just about drinking a lot of that type of drink whilst you're in. Maybe you've got like and they have like an egg timer on the table, and you have to finish. And you can pick whether you want an easy, medium, or a hard drinking challenge. Mm-hmm. And then you really just have to finish the drink or finish the number of drinks depending on the level. So if it's like a hard drinking challenge, you've got maybe 3 drinks to down in 60 seconds or something like that. And obviously, you know, you get maybe more crystals for doing the harder ones. Really, this is just a way of getting absolutely smashed in a pub.
Well, most drinking games are, but I'd be tempted to bring a little more finesse into it. Yeah. I would say that the drinking, the sort of downing drinks, should be done when you transition between zones. Everyone has to down their drinks so you can get onto the next zone quickly.
Oh, well, you won't be allowed to carry drinks over between zones. That'd just be silly.
Exactly. That's where the downing comes in.
Yeah.
So then in terms of the actual games, we can bring in some games that require a bit more dexterity or thought or physical strength.
Oh, you mean
mystery.
Like...
you know, just like the actual 4 categories.
Maybe, like, have, like, drinking games like beer pong and quarters and stuff like that.
Yeah. And you get crystals for them. I think we're up to something here.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we are. This is how we make our millions with Crystal Maze-themed pubs.
Or by ripping off Channel 4 and waiting for them to sue us.
I'm sure the rights of, you know, they're up for grabs now.
I don't think they are.
Well, Challenge TV has the rights to the reruns, don't they? So,
well, yeah, well, they've got the rights to the broadcast and recordings of the ones that were made.
Mm.
But I'm thinking who has the rights to the concept?
I don't know. If not, we just... come up. I mean, we can remove it far enough from the Crystal Maze itself to, you know, become its own unique thing. So,
yeah. Well, the Crystal Maze was intended to be a remake of Fort Boyard.
I thought Fort Boyard came after Crystal Maze.
Not according to this.
Oh, right.
No, first broadcast in 1990. Fort Boyard.
When was Crystal Maze first broadcast?
1990.
Oh, right. So it's a very quick turnaround on a remake then.
Yeah. Yeah, they did that quickly. I mean, considering it's the size of two football pitches and cost £250,000 to build.
Wow. See, our Crystal Maze pub would definitely be a lot cheaper to build than that.
Yeah, we'd have to keep the costs low to make it manageable.
Yeah.
Because, of course, this is a game that we got to set the rules and roll it out to every pub goer in the country. You know, like a real pub game, which it is.
Yeah. The Crystal Maze pub.
So we do have to keep it. We'll come up with a better type. Pistol Maze.
That makes it sound like a shooting range.
Yeah.
Or very, but just like, yeah, you and a bunch of at-risk youths go into a hedge maze with Colts and
I'll get back to that one.
Yeah, with 9mm and you have to survive without getting a cap in your ass.
The Crystal Haze.
Ah, I like it. No, that wouldn't work.
Were you about to say the Dristle Maze?
I was about to say the Drunken Maze. I was like, no, maybe not.
Because the Dristle Maze would very quickly degrade into the Bristol Maze.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Bristol Maze. Don't feed the pigeons. I don't know what Bristol sounds like.
Isn't Bristol like a bit farmerish?
So I've heard. I've never been there. I want to, but I have never gone.
Oh, well. So basically, we had a look at this ground floor flat.
Yeah.
Dragging this wild stallion back on course. And it was unfurnished, but it could have been offered furnished. And it was a decent enough place. I mean, if he could get over the shitty front door and then the shitty door into the flat itself, and the incredibly shitty entrance hallway, which was basically several scrap... Basically, the carpet looked like it had been made from discarded carpet samples. It's, like, stitched together.
Like a recycled carpet.
Basically recycled carpet. But the one thing that really put me off... I mean, it was okay, and the space was pretty good, and the bedroom seemed pretty big as well, and it had a lot of kind of sockets in the wall. Mm-hmm. But the one thing that put me off was the fridge. Was really shitty, and there wasn't this place for it in the kitchen, so it was in the living room. But then I thought, if this fridge is an... Because everything else seemed quite nice. And I thought, well, if this fridge is an indication of the standard of which this flat will come furnished, then it's going to be pretty piss poor. And I don't get to see what furniture goes in. I'd basically be like, I'll take it. And then when I move in, I'd see the furniture. And I thought, I don't really want to risk moving into a flat that has the potential, based on that fridge, to be awful. I spent a lot of time looking on. I tell you what, actually a surprisingly good website, Nestoria, and it's got an amazing feature. Which, I've worked on websites for a long time now, but I say that as if I'm in my 40s or something like that. I've worked on websites for 2.5 years, but no, the you basically put in the area you want to look to live. Say, I don't know. Elephant and Castle, and it does a search, and it does it by like their website rank, and then you can sort it by price or whatever. But on the right hand side, so the results are down the left hand side of the page. On the right hand side is a map showing you like A, B, C, D, little pointers, little flags showing you where each property is on the map. And if you zoom that map in or out, it adds or takes away search results based on the new proximity of the zoom level. So at times I was like, maybe if I move it a little bit more to the right, I'll see more search results. And then you move to the right, and then you see the search results.
Yeah, I'm on it now. That's very good.
I know, right?
Someone's thought about that.
That's what I
like
thought.
It.
I mean, the website itself isn't much to look at, but that feature alone, and as well, if you hover over a search result, the flag on the map lights up. So if you hover over C, the flag on the map lights up to red.
Yeah, it does.
It's little cool features like that.
Oh, and some of the flags as well are slanted. They're tilted so you can click on them in the mess when you're at a faraway zoom level.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
I really liked it. So I found myself using Nestoria quite a lot. and the properties I found on there, towards the lower end, so when you're looking at more 200 a week, which is, you know, for someone who's currently paying $550 a month for his flat, 200 a week, and I was looking at it going, oh, that furniture looks a bit shit. And then thinking, well, the flat I'm currently looking at is about $240 a week. And, you know, I don't know what the furniture is going to be like. I don't want to risk it with this one. So then we went to see another flat, which I'd been scheduled in for, which was a nice little walk away. And yeah, we got there, and that flat was really nice. And he basically almost had a sale. Well, I say almost had a sale. Almost had me signing the papers then and there, because he sat down on the sofa. I was like, why is the guy showing me the flat sitting down on the sofa? And then he pulled a lever, and it did the lazy boy recliner thing.
Oh, I was like, I thought you were going to say he pulled a lever, and the settee swiveled around to reveal a secret lab.
To reveal an Iron Man suit that would be all mine. So he almost basically had the sale on that, but it was a bit annoying because it should be a two-bedroom flat, but the landlord had gone travelling and filled up the second bedroom with mystery items that no one is allowed to know about. Funnily, the guy who showed me the flat, I've been watching a lot of Dexter recently, so he basically joked and said it's a ritualistic slaughter chamber that I'm not allowed in. So mystery room would have got annoying over time. And then Becky and I decided to... I decided, Becky begrudgingly, because she was tired and wet from all the rain, walked for like another mile to an estate agent for just to see if they could fit us in for a viewing on a property that I had not, just as, have you got any properties? Because I want to see some more while I'm in London, because I probably won't come down again. I need to make a, you know, decision now. And luckily the guy brought us in from the rain, and he was like, oh, I'm sorry. This is actually, we only do sales here. You want the lettings one, which is, you know, in the next area of London over. And I was like, oh, are you kidding me? And he was like, oh, don't worry about it. Sit down, I'll take your details and I'll call them for you. And he was a really nice guy. He helped us get a viewing arranged, and it was Bairstow Eaves, I think, was the agent's. And I've been trying.
The name rings a bell.
I've been trying to get hold of them for a few days, but I'd only been getting the answering machine. So he helped me out. He called his colleague over in the next office, and they arranged a viewing for a flat, which actually turned out to be in a few blocks over from the flat we'd just seen with the lazy boy. It was a pretty cool flat. I actually had some storage space, which the other one didn't. Pretty small, so I'm not sure how I'm going to fit some of my stuff in there, like my desk and my bookcases. I think some of my furniture might not make it during the move, we signed the paperwork, and I move to London in a week.
Sweet.
But the most annoying part, which I skipped over at the beginning of this tale, was that basically for getting to work, I wanted to have an easiest commute as possible.
Yeah.
So I've basically only been looking kind of along the northern line. I thought that's going to kind of intersect Tottenham Court Road, where I'll need to get off. I'll look along the Northern Line, because I want to live kind of North London anyway, because then it'll make kind of getting out of London, because basically everyone I want to see will be north of London. I've been told North London was quite nice, and so I thought, yeah, I'll do that. So I looked along the Northern Line, and all of the properties I was viewing, or all two of them, well, actually it should have been three, I had to cancel one, as you'll hear in a second. They were all on the Northern Line, and the Northern Line splits. Some go off to Edgware, and the other one goes off to kind of Mill Hill and Finchley area. So I had some viewings on both of the spokes that go out to the north. So Becky and I get to London, and we go from King's Cross Station, we go into the Underground, and would you fucking believe it, the only line closure of the day is the Northern Line!
Hey.
From Morden, which is the most southern point on the Northern Line, which is basically the last stop on the south part of it, basically all the way up to, and you couldn't get out to either of the spokes, and you could basically only do like three tube stops at the top both ways, and there's no way to connect them. And I'm thinking, how the fuck? And at this point, we'd left ourselves plenty of time, but not in terms of shit being closed. I was like, it would be the only line we need to use today, and it's fucking closed. So we got on the Piccadilly line and took our best shot trying to go north, and then we got on a bus and somehow managed to make it to our first viewing only 20 minutes late. And then I cancelled the one that was on the other spoke because there was just no way to... Because that one was going to cut it fine even having the tube available to us. I was like, nope, can't make that. Which was a shame because I think that one might have been quite a nice one to see. But I'll never know now. But no, it's just I just couldn't believe it. And we're on the bus heading over to kind of Edgware, Burnt Oak area from... I think Arnos Grove or somewhere like that, which is quite a fair distance away. I'm thinking, like, how the fuck are we going to get there? And, like, I'm fairly calm when shit gets fucked up. So that's, you know, a lucky trait for me to have. Because I'd have just been panicking otherwise. But no, it was just one of those things. Like, it was just... And as well, like, I couldn't contact the estate agent to tell him we were going to be late because I was underground where there's no signal. it's just, yeah, it was a bit of a palaver, but despite this horrendous rain and the lots of walking about because we couldn't get the tube anywhere, yeah, I'm quite happy that I've managed to get a place sorted because I start my job in about 3 weeks. Well, 2.5
weeks. And this place didn't have a bad omen fridge.
It didn't have a bad omen fridge. I mean, one of the things I'd learned from my first flat in Leeds was get somewhere that has like a decent standing fridge freezer, because if you get a tiny little cupboard fridge with a tiny sliver freezer at the top of it when you open it, you basically buy food day to day and it's very expensive. And yeah, you basically live off cupboard food. My fridge, in fact, to a degree, it still contains these items because the items I've got into the habit of buying basically contains yogurt and cider. All part of a healthy, balanced diet, kids. But no, yeah,
all part of a healthy, balanced yeast infection.
But no, yeah, it's that one had like a proper fridge freezer in it, and even a little dishwasher as well. Because the other thing that I got annoyed about my first flat for not having was it didn't have a draining board, and it really wound me up after a few months. It's like I just want to drain my things, so I had to buy like a little draining rack to go over my sink, but then I couldn't empty the dirty dishwater out because I had pots over the sink, and it's like it's a palaver.
Yeah, that's
a lot of faffing around. But this one actually has a dishwasher, a tiny hidden dishwasher, which I didn't know it would have. It's quite nice.
Well, I found even when, just coming back to the draining board thing, I found even when you have a sink that's got a draining board, it's still good to get a draining rack because it lets you use the space more efficiently.
Yeah, but just somewhere to drain that's not over the sink itself is handy.
Yeah, that can't be good.
But no, it's an interesting apartment because it's like the bedroom is it's technically a studio, I guess, but they've jazzed it up and called it Manhattan style by putting a frosted sliding glass panel between the bedroom and the living room areas. So while it's a studio, you can kind of divide it off. But it's still quite a nice place. It's got a little balcony. I quite like it. It's pretty nice, but it's the only downside is that it's quite small. It's a lot smaller than the flats I'm used to for obviously much less money because I live in a much cheaper city at the moment. But I'm sure once I've amassed a small fortune, then I'll definitely get somewhere a bit nicer. But at the moment, it's just kind of get a flat, get ready in London, and it's really
just
nice.
Just be ready to survive in the other half of the country.
Yeah, I mean, that was the thing going down at the weekend. I knew I couldn't really leave London without making at least a decision, and at the most, I had to sign somewhere. So I've got to pay my deposit now, which is basically going to wipe out my bank balance because it's 6 weeks' rent. It's like, oh, fuck! 6 weeks rent for London is 3 months rent for Leeds. Oh, Jesus.
Hi, I'm London and everything good happens in me and I want all your money.
I know, but I do have a job with Sony now, so
yeah,
can't complain.
I won't discuss the numbers you told me, but it's going to balance out.
I'm obviously London wage and stuff like that, and I get a little bit London living allowance as well. Once assuming I get out of my probationary period, but no, yeah, it's strange. I'm in my last week at my current job. I've got my leaving due tomorrow night, which is odd because I've had to organise it myself, and because I've never actually had a leaving due before. Because at Sainsbury's, it was kind of very much, yeah, you don't work here anymore when I left, because they just stopped employing me back after university holidays. At Borders, closed down.
It was just you. Get the fuck out.
Yeah, it was pretty much...
Get out of here, Michael French.
Oh, I'll come back to that. Put a pin in that. I'll come back to that in a second. But yeah, so at Sainsbury's it was very much like, am I coming back to work for during this holiday period? It's like, no. Oh, okay, then I don't work there anymore. At Borders it closed down, so kind of the leaving do was everyone sitting in Ye Old Star Inn in York drinking on Christmas Eve. technically it was on the 22nd, which was actually my birthday, and I'd almost managed to make it the entire day without anyone finding out it was my birthday on the same day that their beloved workplace was shutting down. And then at Staples I kind of just left, and I think about four people knew I was leaving, and I just kind of left in the night, and a girl I work with said that I should, you know, she'd arrange a leaving do for me because she'd only found out that day I was going. I was like, yeah, okay then. And then I'm still owed a leaving do 2.5 years later from Staples. arranging this myself. So we're going to go get some food and have some drinks. And yeah, then Friday's my last day, but I've got a load of work still to do, which is keeping me very, very much occupied. This, funnily enough, was actually on my list of things I wanted to talk about today, because earlier today I got a phone call from the people who are handling the flat now. Basically, the agents have passed me on to this next party, and they need the deposit from me and stuff like that. And the lady rung me today and said, "Hi there, is that Michael?"
Oh.
I was like, "No, it's Mark." And now the thing is, I've said this to you before, and I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I routinely get mistaken for a Michael. Either people mishear my name and think I'm a Mike, and then extrapolate that to Michael, or people. But now, it's like people who haven't even met me are calling me Michael. It's like, this is getting strange. At Sainsbury's, I was for. It was basically the bit from Friends where Chandler is known as. I'm going to kick myself now. What was he known as?
Don't look at me.
I can't. This is the internet. Toby. He's known as Toby by Chris Parnell's character.
I really don't think I've seen that one.
It's quite late. I think series 9, maybe.
No, I won't have seen it then.
And he says to like Ross, he's like, why don't you correct him? He's like, oh, it's been far too long now. It's been, you know, years. And I found out after about 5 months at Sainsbury's that my superiors knew me as Michael French. And so occasionally, because I always wondered who this mysterious Michael French was who kept getting, you know, requests over the tannoy to go back to checkouts. And then I realized it was me. And they were calling me, but I wasn't going back because they hadn't heard my name. But the weirdest thing about that was they called me Michael. But whenever it came to give me my payslip, they always gave me the one addressed to me. So they got my name right then. And on the couple of occasions where I got into a little bit of trouble, they got my name right. But the rest of the time, I was Michael. And it's the strangest thing. But no, yeah, it's so strange you should say that. Because, yeah, the lady today over the phone mistook me for Michael. And I really don't know what it is about me. But even, like I say, even people... I mean, she had rung me before, so she knew she'd called me Mark previously. But I've had it with people who are meeting me for the first time, haven't heard my name yet, and just call me Mike or Michael. I guess I must just look like a Mike or a Michael, whatever they look like. But yeah, it's a bit weird. I mean, do you ever get like other people calling you by? I calling you by a different name. Like my mum gets me and my brother the wrong way around, so he's Ma Oliver and I'm Ollie Mark because she starts the wrong child and then realizes she's made a mistake. But I mean, do you like get? Anyone ever just assume you're called something else, or?
I don't think so. There's an occasional one. I'll occasionally get referred to as Sam or something if I'm given my name over the phone and I'm not very clear about it.
Yeah.
Which seems to happen often when I book a haircut. Only because I know the appointment time that I can really prove that, yes, I'm that guy who rang up and wanted to get bits of my face chopped off today.
Stop getting your hair cut by Sweeney Todd, goddammit.
Oh, but his rates are so good. Plus musical numbers, keep you entertained.
It's the closest shave I've ever had.
I mean, of all the sort of uninteresting names I could have, I'm quite lucky in that it's the sort of name that's difficult to confuse with any other name.
Mm.
It's unique enough that I'm in quite a sweet spot. And like with you, the only confusion I get is people like elder family members will occasionally start calling me by my brother's name or my dad's name. Or I think once I got called my cousin's name, and most of my cousins are female.
Oh, Bad luck, man.
The human brain is a weird thing. That's what we can take away from that.
Yeah, it is indeed. Oh.
I'm not a girl! Should we use this break as an opportunity to do a clap?
Oh, yeah. And then we'll come back with a vengeance. I do quite like the in medias res just kind of starting. I did mean to ask you like 20 minutes ago if you're actually recording, because I only just started recording as we got into it.
No, I made the point to start recording as soon as I started the call, just in case, because it's like when you send me the recordings, I'll sometimes hear, you're usually the first to record, and I'll usually hear something hilarious that you say, and it needs to be something that works out of context, or I can't use it.
Yeah.
And I don't like at least not being able to see what it was that was said.
Oh, right.
So I've made a point to start recording. As of now, I'm making a point to record as soon as I start the Skype call.
Yeah, I've started doing that as well. Basically, I do that pretty much all the time because of the Waiting for Steph episode. And it's like, I don't want to be caught out where I've not been recording. And either something funny has been said, or we're in a situation where we could have done something, but we can't now because we don't have the audio. Anyway, should we clap?
One of us can't make it. Let's clap.
All right, do you want to count us in?
All right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Cool. I am 40-22.
I'm 40-25. We're good at this.
We are good at this. We almost... One of these days we'll have started recording at precisely the exact same second, and then I'll be like, I'm 40-22, I'm 40-22, I'm 40-22.
I'm 40-22, and so's my wife! Right, where were we?
Names and getting called by the wrong name.
No, I know what I was going to come back to. I was going to come back to you letting a bunch of kids loose in a hedge maze with guns.
What? It could work.
The pistol maze.
Yeah. Maybe just like paintball guns, so you're not actually shooting someone.
Yeah, or laser tag. It could basically be steampunk laser tag.
Yes, I've not been laser tagging so long. Like, there used to be a great place in Doncaster, Laser Quest, but it closed down. And funnily enough, like most things in Doncaster Sound Centre, became a nightclub. If you don't become a nightclub in Doncaster Town Centre, you basically become a fried chicken place. So it's pretty much the extent of the outside of Doncaster.
Sounds lovely. I've never been to Doncaster. I drove past it once, and the rain got really bad as I did.
As an omen, clearly.
As an omen. Yeah, it was omen weather. Much like your omen fridge.
Yeah. Omen weathering, you know, when it starts raining, you just go, oh, man.
Damien.
Quit playing with the weather.
Put down that weather app. That's what weather apps do, right?
So
you control the weather?
Yeah, sure, why not? Well, I mean, it's true. I mean, the past few days I've been checking my phone to see if I should drive into work because I don't want to get rained on, and it says it's raining, and then it starts raining, so I drive. So that's obviously how it works.
Yeah, the app actually controls the weather.
It's like Schrodinger's box, really. You look at the weather app, see it's raining, and then it rains.
Schrodinger's forecast. Yeah.
He'd be such a shit weatherman.
Oh, he would. He'd be like, and the weather in Cheshire on Tuesday will be... Let's have a look. Means it's raining.
Be both monsoon and heatwave.
Until it happens and we look up in the sky and observe it.
Oh, Schrodinger.
If it was a monsoon and a heatwave, that would basically mean it was raining lava. Basically, Schrodinger is turning the entire UK into a volcano.
Schrodinger's super volcano.
Oh, I'd watch that.
Oh, it'd be like the angels from Doctor Who. It's like, if you look at the super volcano, it will erupt.
They basically angels.
Yeah. You have to not look at the... It's basically an hour and a half of people not looking at a smouldering mountain. like a really shitty version of Dante's Inferno. Dante's Peak. Is it Dante's Peak?
I've no idea.
Dante's Inferno is the Divine Comedy. It must be Dante's Peak. There were two that came out in the same year about volcanoes. Yeah, like movies used to do that. Actually, still do. Like they'll come out in like pairs because that's, you know, what the network deems as popular. Like whenever I think of the network now, I think of the network robots from Futurama, and it's just like I am in charge of you know, terrible sitcoms or whatever it was. But yeah, it's like Deep Impact and Armageddon came out in the same year, and then recently the that Friends with Benefits and No Strings Attached, which are basically about fuck buddies, came out in the same basically the same month.
Yeah. Yeah, it says here, Dante's Peak is a 1997 action starring Pierce Brosnan, Linda Hamilton, and other people. The thing I like about it is that they've got the movie poster on here.
Yeah.
And, you know, it says across the front in quite 90s writing, Dante's Peak. Yeah. And it's got Pierce Brosnan looking sort of wistfully up at something above the camera.
Yeah.
And Linda Hamilton doing the same, except she's on the left of Brosnan, but the names are the other way around to what you'd expect.
That always bugs me on movie posters. It's like, I get, you know, Pierce Brosnan's probably the bigger actor than Linda Hamilton in this case. But you'd think, because obviously that photograph is not staged. They've composited photographs together. So why not have it so they're by each other's name, by their respective names?
Yeah, you'd think they could think that through.
But it happens so frequently on movie posters. I tell you what movie poster really bugged me, and I'll send it to you so you can see it. It was the Avengers movie poster, because mm-hmm. once I saw it, I couldn't unsee it. The poster was done by basically different one shots of all the main cast put together, but the shadows on every single character are different. So there's the shadow on Tony Stark is on his right hand side, but Hawkeye to his immediate left, the shadow's on his left side.
Oh,
so the
yeah.
light source is completely
now.
Fucked up, and it bothers me so much looking at that cover now, because it's obviously it's, you know, it's not economical to get all of your movie stars to pose on, you know, what is essentially going to be a green screen background anyway, a computer generated yeah. background, but still.
But it is economical to reuse the same lighting rig between shots.
But yeah, but I know for a fact that all of those shots come from different one-shot promo posters. So they've just composited them all together. But it's so annoying looking at just the different shadows. And what it bothers me as well that Iron Man's there without his helmet and Captain America's there without his mask. It's just like, I know you've got to show off their faces, but, you know, they wouldn't be walking around without their masks on because, you know, they're superheroes.
Yeah, they're in the middle of a war zone. If they've got masks and helmets to at least protect themselves, then surely they do that.
Actually, that's one thing that's really starting to annoy me in superhero films now, is that they must end with a city getting absolutely butt-fucked. It's like, you are superheroes. You protect people. The net damage to Manhattan is going to be immense. In fact, there was a comic. I don't know if it was a Marvel one or not. It might have been Dark Horse. It was about a team of, I can't remember if they had superpowers, but it was basically their job to go in after superheroes had fucked up cities and repair the damage. and that was their job. It was basically, you know, repairmen. But it's like, I've not seen it, but the end of Man of Steel basically ends with Metropolis getting smashed to shit. That one, it's Superman versus Zod. Two people. If I was Superman, I'd fly Zod up to, like, the moon and, like, pile drive him into that instead of, you know, throwing him around and smashing up the Daily Planet building. I mean, at least with the Avengers, you've got the fact that the, you know, the alien army is invading, and it's quite hard to, you know, remove all of them from, you know, the Lower East Side or wherever it was. But no, it's so frequently now superhero films are, let's trash everything when, you know, the superheroes are about protecting and not destroying.
And they're generally better than that.
Yeah, it's because everything has to be such a huge spectacle now. And yeah.
Or maybe we're looking at this the wrong way around. Maybe it's that it's going for a more realistic portrayal of what would happen. And it's saying, yeah, New York gets completely and utterly shagged. But look at all the other cities in the world that are perfectly pristine. Because the aliens just so happen, or the aliens or the monsters or whoever it is, just so happen to land in New York and only New York, which is, they seem to like it, but okay. And, you know, they don't do anything to DC, they don't do anything to Philadelphia, to Montreal, to Sao Paulo, to London. It never spreads. It is completely entirely localized New York because the superheroes are there to contain it, and the cost of that is one New York.
But the I think that's one of the reasons why the Avengers actually exist, is because Marvel, like Stan Lee and Steve Ditko, kind of realized that most of their comics are set in New York, and therefore you'd imagine Spider-Man would bump into the Fantastic Four from time to time. Instead of being like separate pockets of the universe, it's like, why aren't they all in one consistent New York and they can meet each other and, you know, help each other out in big crises. But no, that, what you were saying just then reminded me of, I absolutely love Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, and I'm super psyched to see the second film next week or so, whenever I get around to seeing it. But in that, the giant food at the end of the film is destroying world monuments like the Great Wall of China and the Eiffel Tower and Mount Rushmore and stuff like that. And the newsreaders basically says to the effect of, you know, in an unusual food weather pattern where it seems to be targeting the Earth's most famous landmarks first.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so true. It's, you know, you never see just like, you know, a housing estate in Slough getting fucked up by by a meteor or something like that. It's always somewhere recognisable.
Well, it's because Slough's too busy getting fucked up by immigrants, if the government's to be believed.
Or the Daily Mail.
Yeah, it's getting fucked up by the Daily Mail too.
Yeah.
Politics! Let's move on.
Okay. No, it's, yeah, it's funny how it's always the capital city. Or like in Independence Day, where the not the mothership, because that's obviously what they go to, but the flagships, when they come down, it's all over the White House and the Empire State Building. And other famous landmarks that aren't necessarily in America, but we'll skip over those because they're not in America.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'll give you the idea that said aliens might look for civilization. They might go, right, where's civilization?
Yeah, dead population.
Where are we really going to, you know, cause the most damage or make the most impact, get ourselves really known?
Did you think they've got, like, you know, the Lonely Planet Guide to Earth's main tourist spots, and that's how they decide? It's like, today, guys, we're going to destroy the Pyramids of Giza!
No, they just see what's trending on Twitter.
Hashtag Sphinx.
Hashtag blow up the Earth. But no, like, if I was an alien doing this, I would think, okay, let's find a fairly populous area, but a smaller one, something we can use as a test. Just to test out happens. So I will take this opportunity to announce my new film, arriving in 2015, When Aliens Come to Earth and They Attack Wigan.
And it, like, you know, impacts the production of pies in the UK.
Yeah, you see, that's terrorism.
Yeah. Pie-based genocide.
It's not really pie, it's more like pie-based fear.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I wonder how much fear you would spread if you managed to get rid of all pies in Britain.
I don't know, but, you know, Frey Bentos and Ginsters would just be, you know, distraught.
Melton Mowbray would become a ghost town.
be terrible. But then pork pies are kind of different from, like, regular pies, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, with the whole GIF fiasco?
Yeah.
Do you reckon that kind of, on a more UK scale, people are going, see, it's Ginsters, and everyone's like, no, it's Ginsters.
I haven't heard of that happening. I mean, in theory, it could happen.
I've heard of people refer to them as Ginsters, even though it's spelt G-I-N, like gin.
Yeah, well, you could say that as a made-up word, or somebody's name, there's no real correct way to pronounce it. It's just whatever you go with, you know, due to the fact that human communication isn't perfect. It's the kind of argument that I end up having to agree with whenever Americans pronounce the plural of Lego as Legos, even though the Lego company's like, no, that's not what you do.
It's and Lego.
And everyone in Britain is like, no, that's not what you do. And I don't think it's worth fighting. I just tend to get caught up in the whole anti-American thing because it's how we Brits feel better about ourselves.
It's true. But, I mean, I recently, at work, the girls have been putting on an American band, like folky band, called Haim.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like one particular catchy song I quite like called The Wire. But it's taken from their surname, which is Haim, spelt H-A-I-M. And I, up until recently, been pronouncing it Haim, as in H-A-I-M. And I thought that was the correct way. And then Wikipedia said, no, it's Haim, as in time. And obviously my mind immediately went to Haim. And they're a girl group, as in Hymen.
Oh, God.
So yeah, I was, you know, not impressed with myself at that moment in time. I was like, oh, Mark. And of course you would go there. You're the kind of person who, when, you know, needing to give the NATO alphabet, you know, pronunciation for K, you say knife. A complete tit. Which, I don't, I've told you that. That actually happened to me, because I was just stupid. The lady over the phone, I was sorting out something to do with my car, and they needed to take my license registration number, my license plate number. And I gave it out, and they're like, oh, what's that again? I was like, K, like first one, K, as in, quick mark, think of a word beginning with K, quickly, knife! Ugh, you've picked one of the, you know, 29 words in the English dictionary that has a silent K at the beginning.
29.
Well, it's a low number, probably. I don't know. I'm just
seems
making
a bit high. Where we got knife, knuckle,
knicker,
knock, kneel, knave. This is great podcast material. Yeah. Welcome to the Canned Dictionary Podcast.
That's it for another Canned Laughter podcast. Accidentally upsetting a wasp's nest in the garden has been Simon.
Look, I've told you, the wasp nest is vintage. It's a feature of the house.
And refusing to pay 6 months up front is me, Mark. Thanks for listening. Bye. I'm sure you can find that shit on Etsy.
I think I looked. Let's see, Etsy.com. Knitted Hitler. No results for Knitted Hitler.
Aww.
That's disappointing. Looking for shops? Find shop names containing Knitted Hitler. No Knitted Hitler for us today.
Oh, that's a shame.
Knitted Stalin.